Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, folks, we're jumping on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline once again. We're going to bring on Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. It's brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. This football season, keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly. Mike, good morning. Happy Football Friday to you.
Hey, how are you guys today?
We're doing good, Mike, and it's, well, right in the middle of all these good football games. We still have fallout from the game between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Well, what do you think about everything that took place from the suspensions? One held, Pouncey gets one game less, and then what came out of those NFL meetings, Myles Garrett accusing Mason Rudolph of a racial slur. What were your thoughts on the whole thing?
Let me start with the decision to uphold the indefinite suspension that will cover at least the rest of the season. I think it's critical that the NFL have the ability to revisit this after the season and make an affirmative decision as to whether or not Myles Garrett is ready to return to the field of play. He's already removed an opponent's helmet, hit him over the head with it. They have to be sure he's not going to do it again. Because if it happens a second time, first of all, the player could end up being seriously injured or worse. And second of all, it's going to be partially the NFL's fault. Because they're on notice that this guy had the propensity to pull someone's helmet off and hit him over the head with it. So they got to be sure he's never going to do it again. And I think that's a project for the offseason, which is what I think the NFL intends to do. Get through the season, spend time in the offseason, meet with the commissioner. Does he need anger management? What does he need to not do this again? They need to be sure he won't do it again before they let him play. Now, as to the slur, I personally believe, and I know some people feel differently. Tony Dungy and I talked about this earlier on PFT Live, and he has no problem with Garrett keeping it to himself. I just think that if a racial slur was used against you and it caused you to blow a fuse and hit a guy over the head with his own helmet, 15 minutes later when you're in the locker room talking about it, you would say that the guy used a racial slur. Why would you keep that quiet? So it's just odd to me. Common sense suggests he would have said something. On the other side, the way the Steelers are handling it, issuing a vehement denial on behalf of Mason Rudolph and saying he's not going to talk about it, well, why won't he talk about it? I mean, wouldn't you want to talk about it if you were accused of doing something like that and you didn't do it? Wouldn't you want to shout from the rooftops, I didn't do it? And not only did this guy hit me over the head with my own helmet, he's saying I said something I didn't say. He's attributing one of the worst things that you could say to someone to me. I mean, that's the ultimate insult to injury. So I'm confused by the way this has been handled by everyone. And I think the NFL just wants it all to go away. You know, something Tony Dungy told me earlier, a lot of stuff gets said on the football field. And you can't blow a gasket just because somebody said something you don't like, because you will hear anything and everything during a football game, and you just got to keep going about your business.
Mike, you got to admit one thing. That was the fastest investigation in the history of the NFL, finding out that.
Hey, and here's what's funny. We found no evidence that a slur was used. No, other than the fact that Myles Garrett says it was. He's a direct, we've heard a lot about hearsay in other contexts in recent weeks. This is direct evidence. And it's not hearsay because I heard him say it. I heard the slur.
Wow.
That's the evidence. Just because they can't corroborate it. That's what they should have said. This isn't about whether or not there's evidence of it. This is about whether or not they can corroborate it. And just because it can't be corroborated doesn't make it not true.
Mike, should Mason Rudolph get any discipline for what happened on the field that day?
Well, he got fined. The question is, should he be suspended?
Right.
You know, you got a lot of Cleveland fans that want their pound of flesh. Look, let me just make a general observation. This applies to all teams, whether it's the Chiefs, the Browns, the Cowboys, the Dolphins, the Patriots. When a key player on your team, if it's your favorite team, engages in misconduct, the lengths to which fans of that team will go to defend it, to excuse it, to justify it, to do the whole whataboutism bull crap that we hear all the time in politics. I mean, there really are a lot of parallels between being a sports fan and politics, because these folks will defend anything if it is related to a guy they want on the football field. Because I said this last week, if it had been Cam Hayward hitting Baker Mayfield over the head with his own helmet, they would have been demanding a public execution of Cam Hayward in Cleveland. And in Pittsburgh, they would have been defending Cam Hayward. They would have found something to say it was justified, it was excusable. So it's so predictable, but it's also disappointing that that's just the way it is. But, you know, that's been the reaction in Cleveland. They want Mason Rudolph to be suspended. I mean, all he did was try to pull the guy's helmet off. Garrett finished the job and then some, and that's why, you know, he crossed a line that should never be crossed and that must never be crossed again, and that's why he's facing that punishment.
You had a lot of really good stuff on this Antonio Brown and the lawsuits and going back after each other, that maybe it's a bad look for what he's trying to do. What have you heard back on anything? I was curious. I know you know Drew really well, Drew Rosenhaus. Did you hear back from anybody about Antonio Brown going forward?
No, I mean, I've communicated my views publicly and privately that I think it's a mistake to file a counterclaim. I think it's always a mistake to file a counterclaim. And I practiced law for 18 years, and I had clients who got sued, and their first reaction always was, I want to sue them back. And sometimes I could explain it to them in 15 minutes. Sometimes it would take 15 days. But ultimately, I would convince them it does not help you. The best thing you can do, if the truth is on your side, is defend it in a very calm and respectful manner and trust that the truth is going to come out. You do not help yourself by trying to turn the tables, especially when there's a significant disparity in resources. He's not going to get any money out of her. It's not like, you know, it's not like two corporations. Like, if you've got a business contract gone bad and the crap hits the fan and two large, gigantic billion-dollar companies are making claims against each other under a contract, that's different. This is somebody who's using the court system that was initiated by the plaintiff to spin it around on her, to put her in a spot where she does have something to lose. And I can understand the temptation to do it. It's just as a bad look, especially when you're talking about sexual assault claims and you know, preying upon someone, power, exercising that power. And her lawyer issued a statement Wednesday calling it what it is. It's an effort to bully her into dropping it. And I'd rather just focus on the truth and the facts and let the process play out and not try to make this power play, because there is a chance it blows up in his face.
So we had another attorney in town that does real well and does a lot of stuff, and he said the same thing you just said. So I'm just wondering, Antonio Brown can get really good attorneys here in South Florida. You think a guy tried to talk him into this and he said no, or did he just get bad advice?
Well, yeah, look, with Antonio Brown, the question that always comes up, is he getting bad advice or is he ignoring good advice? And in this case, I would feel so strongly about not filing a counterclaim, and I would have sufficient misgivings about Antonio Brown based upon everything else that's out there anyway, that I would refuse to represent him if he wanted to go forward with a counterclaim. I'd say you just have to find somebody else, because we'd have a fundamental disagreement on such an important threshold question. And look, hey, the best clients are the ones that understand that they're not lawyers and you are. And they're going to defer to your judgment. And now they have to make big decisions, but they're going to defer to your decision recommendations. And if we can't get on the same page right now, we're going to be on different pages the entire litigation. So, you know, he may have been advised not to do it, and he decided to do it anyway. But I think the lawyer in that case should have said, well, you need to find somebody else to represent you then.
Interesting stuff. We talked to you last week, by the way, before the entire circus happened with the NFL, Colin Kaepernick, the whole deal on Saturday. When you look back at last Saturday, from start to finish, from the NFL to Colin Kaepernick at the end when he was done, what did you think of the entire thing outside of it being a circus?
Well, the whole thing was doomed from the get-go. When I first saw Colin Kaepernick was going to have a workout, I thought he set it up. I couldn't even process the idea that the league was doing it. Why would the league do it? What's the point? What do you have to gain? And the problem is you have to take into account the history between the two sides. They have fought. They have litigated against each other. The NFL paid Colin Kaepernick somewhere between $1 and $10 million to settle a collusion lawsuit that was filed by Kaepernick 7 or 8 months into his free agency that still lingers to this day. None of it makes sense. Any team could have worked him out over the last 32 months, and no one has. Why would you set up a joint workout with all 32 teams? I don't think the league wants him back, and I don't think he wants to be back. I really don't get the sense there was a genuine effort by either side to work through the many issues that you'd have to work through. You're slapping this thing together in 4 days. There's a lot of things you got to work through. And if you don't get on the same page quickly and start knocking off the various items that need to be addressed, it's not going to work. And it ultimately didn't work. And, you know, the two key factors, the waiver they wanted him to sign, the thing was drafted to put language in it. And I don't know whether they did this on purpose or not. It could just be a lawyer who bills by the hour trying to justify his or her ultimate fee. But the language was broad. And the language possibly would have exonerated the NFL if there's a second lawsuit for collusion or retaliation against Colin Kaepernick. But the problem is, once his lawyer got that, he didn't immediately respond to the NFL and say, we have to work through this line by line and we need to take some of this language out. They waited 2 days and they came up with a completely separate waiver that they found that they said, we'll sign this. That's not how you work things through when you're talking about lawyers who are haggling over language of a document. One side drafts the document and the other side gives input on what needs to be removed and what needs to be added. And that never happened here. So that tells me neither side was really serious about working this out. Neither side was serious about him getting back in the NFL. And both sides wanted to enhance their PR and or their legal standing.
Good stuff, Mike. Yep. Really, really
appreciate
good.
Appreciate it, Mike.
As always, great having you on a Friday, man. Thank you and have a great weekend.
All right, see you guys.
All right, Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com is brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. This football season, keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.